Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But hold your calls for the time being. We're having with us Dr. James Howenstein, and we're going to be talking about vaccination. And he's going to be calling us from his home down in Costa Rica here in just a moment. I talked to him a few minutes ago, and he was to call back in 10 minutes. And I think he's right on the line right now. And Dr. Howenstein has written a treatise on vaccines. Now, you were told, of course, vaccines are wonderful. And some vaccines have really done some amazing things. I think that the elimination of smallpox is one of the great advances of modern-day times. But then, of course, doing away with polio was a wonderful advance as well, except that, of course, we contaminated almost everybody in America with a cancer-producing monkey virus called simian virus 40. And, of course, really wasn't that much cancer before we had smallpox. And so there is a risk-benefit ratio with so many of our vaccines, and nobody ever wants to talk about that. And everybody wants to talk about the fact that the incidence of juvenile diabetes is rising, the incidence of juvenile asthma is rising, the incidence of juvenile allergic disease is rising. And, of course, directly related to the thimerosal, the mercury poison that has been in the vaccines for the last 30 or 40 years, why we have a problem with autism. And it used to be that 1 in 10,000 children was autistic. Now it's about 1 in 150 to 250. And the government knows because they've actually had samples of vaccine, the DPT, diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus vaccine, DPT vaccine, with and without thimerosal, and the incidence of autism something like 20 times as high if they had the mercurials in it as not. But, of course, they can't let the American people know that because then they wouldn't trust the government anymore. Dr. Mark Geyer, who is a scientist who really began looking into the mercury because he was going to prove that there was nothing to worry about, of course, has come 180 degrees around. He feels that with the other damage it's done, in other words, every child does not get autistic who has mercury intoxication. They get other types of metal deficiency. They may be attention deficit disorder children. They may have many other physical problems. He feels about 1 in 5 children would be a victim of the mercury poisoning. They poisoned our children. They poisoned America with mercury. And they're denying it. Excellent articles recently in Insight magazine by Kelly Amerim. We'll be with Dr. Holenstein in just a moment addressing this very, very real issue of vaccines, when you should take them and when you should not. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Howenstein. Is that the correct pronunciation? Doctor?
Howenstein.
Hauenstein. All right, fine. And, of course, you were a practicing physician here in the United States for many years. What was your field of expertise?
I'm a board-certified specialist in internal medicine.
All right, fine. And, of course, you've been very, very concerned about the vaccine issues. Would you like to tell our listeners why? Because most doctors in America believe that the vaccines are sort of like the Holy Grail, the most wonderful thing that ever happened to mankind.
Yes, I think the primary focus of my concern rests with some research that was done by Dr. Leonard Horowitz. He went into government files and found out that the vaccine pool from which the vaccines are made, the animals that are used, have been very, very badly contaminated. So there's been cross-contamination, and many of these animals have multiple viruses that they've picked up in living in these crowded conditions and improperly managed areas for the animal care.
You know,
the Salk vaccine had something like 39 viruses found in it when it was injected into citizens, and there was nothing much they could do about it. They tried to clear the vaccines out, and they weren't able to do so.
Now, I think that the listeners need to understand that the Salk vaccine was grown in a culture of the kidney of initially of the rhesus monkey, wasn't that it?
That's correct.
And so when you got your polio vaccine, you got all the monkeys' viruses that they carried in them, and many of these, of course, may not have had a great deal of impact on Americans, but the 40th one, the SV40, was a cancer-producing virus, a virulent cancer-producing virus, and we gave it to the entire American population.
Exactly. Unbeknowingly. I mean, no one had any... when the vaccines were... given to the public, either this information was not known, or if it was known, the powers that be looked the other direction, and it was given.
Well, after they knew it was there, they still allowed them to use up the rest of the vaccine, because, of course, they didn't want to embarrass the companies, and the last thing they wanted was to withdraw all the polio vaccine and suddenly have a shortage, and then somebody would find out what had happened, because then people would lose confidence in vaccines. And that was the one thing they couldn't allow to happen. So then what happened?
Well, in the course of following these persons who had received this vaccine, it became obvious that...
Hold that thought for just a moment here. We've got to bring our other... All right, fine. Now, our guest is Dr. Hauenstein. We're talking about the polio vaccine and the fact that the initial polio vaccine, the original Salk vaccine, was contaminated with a simian virus 40, a cancer-producing virus. So do you want to pick up the story from there?
In the course of following up on diseases, many different tumors were discovered as time went by, and a high percentage of these people, up to 30-40% of them, they were able to find evidence that the simian virus 40 was in those tumor cells. So it obviously appears to have played a major role in the causation of not all malignancies, but a high percentage of malignancies have been associated with the presence of this simian virus 40.
Yes.
It's unfortunately caused malignancies probably in a large number of people.
And one of them, of course, is mesotheliomas. We almost never saw mesotheliomas other than very rarely associated with asbestos. And now we're seeing more and more people who have no contact with asbestos. But, of course, the medical establishment doesn't want to admit that because, of course, if we did, why people would lose confidence in the vaccination process that they feel has done so much good. Would that be a fair statement?
Correct.
All right, so that was, of course, the polio vaccine, but that's behind us now. Haven't they pretty well taken care of that, so there's no longer a problem?
I don't think it's something you can take care of. Efforts were made to clean up the vaccine, and it was simply an impossible task when you're trying to get rid of 39 or 40 different viral contaminants in a animal pool. You can't get rid of them all.
And, of course, the thing is, if they kill them all, then they'd kill the polio virus, and the vaccine wouldn't work. And that was the real problem. How could you possibly get rid of all these other monkey viruses that were in this culture without killing the polio virus so you'd have an inactive vaccination?
Exactly. The one thing in this area that I think is of considerable significance, there was a physician in Indiana in the early 1900s whose name was Dr. Clark. And he observed in his practice there in Indiana that he took care of 200 people with various kinds of cancers. Every single one of those persons had been vaccinated with the cowpox vaccine. And in his practice, the people who had never had the cowpox vaccine didn't have any cancer at all. In the 1890s, cancer was a very, very rare disease. So all at once, there was a group of people who started getting cancer, and the common denominator for these people was that they'd all received the cowpox vaccine.
Which, of course, is grown in cows, so we would be getting the cow's viruses when we took it. Is that right?
I think so, yep. That's the way I would interpret the vaccine. And the vaccine is a vaccines are a very important part of the pharmaceutical industry, and there have been some books written about the dangers of them and following up on the problems that they've seemingly been causing, and they continue to be used. And oh my, we had the big fiasco with the rotavirus.
Would you like to tell our listeners about the fiasco with the rotavirus? They may not know about that.
Okay. I don't remember the year it was released, but it was given to small children. And within a very short period of time, a few months, at least 100, more than 100 children developed bowel obstructions. And of those who developed bowel obstructions, unfortunately, some died. And then they immediately pulled the virus. The vaccine for the rotavirus was pulled, but it appeared as though if it had been tested in individuals before it's released, it would have probably shown up that it wasn't safe.
Well, I think that they were very concerned about the rotavirus because certainly in Africa and in other countries where we don't have good medical facilities, children would get this viral disease and they would die. But this was not a major problem in the United States. And yet, of course, they released it for the whole world and they released it in the United States, knowing full well that there was a significant danger associated with the vaccine because there had been problems of intersusception, in the clinical trials of it. And then, of course, it began to get children, 100 or more got intersusception, a certain number of them died. So they had to pull this vaccine because it was released here in America, first of all, where the cost-benefit ratio was not in the favor of it. But they had so much money invested in it, they needed to get the money out of the United States so they could use it throughout the rest of the world, where this really was much more of a problem. Would that be a fair statement?
I think you've got it very accurately.
Now, what about some of the other vaccinations? What about the hepatitis B that they're forcing parents to give to their children in the nursery? I mean, at a day or two of age, before they ever leave the nursery, they insist that they have the hepatitis B vaccine. What is the danger to the average infant in America of taking the vaccine or not taking it?
Well, the government statistics have been compiling on the hazards of this vaccine, and one of the directors of the FDA admitted that of all the vaccines that have been given to infants, this had turned out to be one of the most toxic. There were a high number of very unfortunate, serious reactions from this vaccine, yet they keep right on giving it. The other thing that intrigues me is hepatitis B is, not a big plague in young infants, and I think when you're dealing with the child who's in the process of growing and developing their immune system, to bring this vaccine into their immune system at a time when they're very young, many of the children, I think, were not sufficiently developed to handle the vaccine, and it caused an awfully high number of serious reactions. I think it was considered to be one of the most unsuccessful vaccines that's ever been brought along. They still continue to give it.
And they're not about to back away from this because hepatitis B is a real problem in, say, in China, where they're almost 200 million Chinese have had hepatitis B infection, most of them from dirty needles, as a matter of fact. But it's certainly even in the and it's a problem as far as children, but it's not a problem in the United States. So they sell it for $1 a shot over in China. They sell it for $80 a shot here in America, where there's no justification for giving this. And not only that, but until recently it had really totally toxic doses of thimerosal, a mercury compound in it.
Yes.
And would you like to discuss this mercury bit? Because we're told, women should never be eating tuna fish because they're going to get too much mercury, and children shouldn't be having tuna fish because they're getting too much mercury. And we give them 250 times the normal dose in a vaccine. In fact, right now, the influenza vaccine, which they were giving to all these kids, had 250 times the accepted dose, the safe dose in it. What sort of madness is that?
Well, the classic case, I think, is represented Dan Burton's grandson was a healthy 9-year-old boy. He went in one day and got 9 shots, most of which contained mercury. The toxic level of mercury in his body was staggering. He was a normal boy when he went in and got these shots. He was he had autism immediately afterwards. The mercury undoubtedly went to his brain and injured the parts of the brain that are responsible for preventing the autistic behavior to develop.
But of course, the problem is that the average doctor, the doctors would not intentionally harm anybody, but they're just doing what they're being told, and nobody ever tells them it's dangerous to give half a dozen vaccines at one time. Would that be a fair statement?
I think that's perfectly accurate, absolutely correct.
Well, now, of course, you've written some articles about the dangers of vaccines. Are there any of the vaccines that you feel we should be warning parents about? And specifically about the dangers of too many vaccines, or the fact that thimerosal is still present in many of the vaccines that children are getting, and, of course, the doctor doesn't know it?
Well, that's a huge issue. Mercury doesn't belong in our bodies. It's a very toxic substance. Damages brain tissue, and that is a very important substance to keep out of our bodies. The statistics on many diseases show that the children, well, in New Zealand, an important study was done. Some parents refused to allow their children to be vaccinated, and these children that had never received vaccines were compared with children who went through the usual routine, which now is up to 35 vaccines per child. The children who had no immunizations with any vaccines had no asthma. The children who received the usual routine of 35 shots had a 25% incidence of asthma. Many other autoimmune illnesses appear to be related to having been given to children, and it looks as though autoimmune illnesses have been proliferating, lupus and rheumatoid arthritis and many others, in this era where there's universal vaccination. I'm afraid of vaccines, and I think we might be better off if we simply stopped putting them into human beings and let God do the immunization in the way it was supposed to be done. Where if you develop permanent immunity, you're protected against that disease for the rest of your life. One of the other problems with these vaccines is the immunity is temporary, and sometimes a person will be protected for a few years, and then they can come down with the illness later on. This is particularly dangerous in women who are getting pregnant at a time when they think they're protected against rubella and find out that they don't have the protection anymore.
Well, now, what about this argument on the other side? But look at all the children that were dying of disease before we offered the vaccines. And I want to address that when we get back, because I think that this is the scare tactic that's used by the medical establishment. And believe me, I was part of the medical establishment for years, and I love the doctors. I think most of them are doing everything they can to help. But this whole idea, and I used to believe this, all the children that were dying, and look how the incidence of death has declined dramatically from 1900 to where it is now because of the vaccines. And with that thought in mind, we'll be back to our special guest in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alamax. Alamax provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alamax? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alamax at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to talk to you a little bit about a new exciting undertaking. Radio Liberty is now heard for 2 hours every evening from 8 to 10 on shortwave here in the central coast of California, 10 to 12 in the central time zone, 11 to 1 on the east coast. But, of course, if you have a shortwave, why, you can pick up our programs. If you don't have a shortwave, you need to get a shortwave so you can listen. Now, if you have a computer, you can listen on the Internet, and we encourage you to do that. But if you don't have a computer or you don't feel computer literate or would like to have be able to listen on shortwave, we're offering a Sansian the 505 shortwave set with a, it comes with a little carrying case, and it comes with a 24-foot reel aerial. It's really a very, very good little shortwave. And of course, Sansian is the finest name that we really have today in radios, specifically in shortwave radios. This is an AM, FM, but it's also a shortwave radio with a digital reception, so you can lock right in on our station, which is 5.745 megahertz. And so this station, of course, we're on it the last couple of nights ago. People in Turkey and Italy actually heard the broadcast and called our guest. But you can hear this on the West Coast as well. And if you, in many areas here on the West Coast, really outside of the immediate Monterey Bay area, people can't get our evening program. And we get some wonderful guests, some wonderful programs. So the main thing that we do 5 hours every day is try to reach people and let them know what's going on. And, of course, if you would like to be educated, well, you're going to have to get yourself a Sansian shortwave radio. They're $149.95 plus shipping. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And order a Sansian shortwave radio and start listening on a regular basis from 8 to 10 every evening here on the West Coast, or, of course, 9 to 11 Mountain Time, or 10 to 12 Central Time. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this afternoon is Dr. Hauenstein, and we're talking about what's going on as far as vaccinations are concerned, because the American people have been convinced, oh, we have to have vaccines, and recently, of course, we had the influenza scare. Now, the influenza vaccine they manufactured wasn't for the right virus. In other words, it was an entirely different virus than the one the vaccine was for. So what do? Why, you create a scare on the part of the people, and you tell them we're running out of vaccine, and people are going to die if they don't get the vaccine. And And this vaccine is loaded with thimerosal. And so for a child, a young person of 5-6 years old, took that shot, they get up to 250 times the dose of mercury they should have, and certainly the elder people, everybody got their mercury in it. Absolutely no reason to take that vaccine. I didn't take it. I've never taken a flu vaccine. And because I think what you want to do is keep your immune system up, not, of course, the people who get into trouble, and it's usually the very young and the old, because they don't have a proper immune system. So learn how to keep your immune system acting, but don't be stampeded into taking a vaccine because the media is used to create a market for a product, because the product was not going to be any good if they didn't give it all out. So they gave out 85 million doses of a vaccine that wasn't made for the right virus. Did you look into that at all, Dr. Howenstein?
Well, I think that's the annual problem. They go to the area where they think they're getting a good guess at what the new type of influenza virus is going to be, but they're always operating on a guess. They don't really know what it's going to be, and frequently it turns out that the plan they made and the vaccine they created really isn't going to affect that particular virus that turns out to be the one that causes the epidemic.
And so what do you think about that, the massive propaganda campaign they had to get everybody to take their influenza shots here just a few weeks ago?
Well, I completely agree with what you just stated. I think that by far the safest way that we can operate is to keep our immune system healthy, so that when these viruses come around, we don't get sick, or if we do get sick, we're well in 2 or 3 days, and we certainly don't see the problems that we can encounter occasionally with vaccines. They're not safe.
And I really think that, in fact, the reason that Dr. Len Horowitz is so much against vaccines is because his mother took an influenza vaccine shot because her doctor insisted on it, and she got Guillain-Barré disease, which is a paralysis, a total paralysis of the body like polio, and she died of the vaccine shot. And the incidence of Guillain-Barré and these other allergic manifestations, neurologic manifestations, is really not uncommon at all with influenza shots. But they never tell you that. You never get an informed consent. You're never told there may be all sorts of complications if you take a vaccine. They simply want to tell you that you may die if you don't take it, but they never mention you may well die or be crippled if you do. And, of course, I think really one of the important things, and when we get back from the break, I really want to get into this, is this idea, but look at the marked decrease in the incidence of death from, say, measles from 1900 right up to today. And, of course, because we started giving measles vaccine, children are no longer dying of measles encephalitis. How would you respond to that statement?
Well, in Germany, there's a very good, clear illustration of bringing back to just exactly what you were discussing. In Germany, they used to immunize every child for diphtheria, and about 20 years ago, they decided that this wasn't necessary anymore, and they stopped it. Naturally, the number of children that continued to be immunized, it became voluntary, dwindled until a point was reached where less than 10% of the children were still being protected, or supposedly protected against diphtheria by the vaccine. What happened was, at the same time that children were not being immunized with the vaccine, the incidence of the disease had dwindled completely down to the lowest level it's ever been at, even though there are fewer and fewer children that have had the vaccine every year. So the incidence of these diseases has been falling even before the vaccines were introduced, and much of the decrease has been due to better sanitation, better health, less crowded living conditions. And the vaccines got the credit for it when it was really something that was in the process of disappearing by the normal attrition that goes when you have better living conditions and better health in the populace.
And I think that this is really the important thing. Actually, I had to search out the records of the incidence of disease before and after the vaccines were introduced. And before the vaccines were introduced, the incidence of measles death had decreased to less than 30 a year here in the United States. And, of course, there are a lot more. I mean, we're talking about a phenomenal number of children who are permanently injured by the vaccines. And only 30 children had died from measles before we took it in. What they want to do is take you back to 1900 when we had poor nutrition, lots of problems. We're going to be back here in just a moment to discuss what I believe is one of the greatest scams of all time, and that's the vaccinations.
Anglo-American establishment that gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WART.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to mention a couple of the items we carry. One of them is called Phonopoly. It's a game that's designed to teach children how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And so if you have a child that is having difficulty reading, is a victim of a government school, you can get a Phonopoly set, and in 16 hours you can undo all the damage that has been done. The game really is fun to play. I've actually played it. And you begin to sound out the words. You begin to think phonetically. Now, most of these programs are $300, $400, $500, $600. This one's $139.95 plus shipping. And we've put out hundreds of them. And we have so many grateful people because they've learned how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Again, the product Phonopoly, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then we also carry the Miracle 2 soap products. And the Miracle 2 soap products are a soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and a neutralizer, a very alkaline solution, which a lot of people take, and they say it seems to help their gastric reflux. I know my wife takes this and cut down dramatically on the use of the pills that she had to take on a regular basis. Now, we can't make any medical claims. We can only tell you what people have told us about how these products have helped their rashes and acne and the lower intestinal tract and all sorts of things. I mean, some people really tell us that these are miracles. All we can say is, why don't you give them a try? Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And as for Miracle 2 soap products, if you'd like to know more about them, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and you can look up our site where we talk about the Miracle 2 soap products. I think if you try them, you'd really like them. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now, of course, we've got Fred calling in from Salinas. Fred, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I had a comment for your guest. I just wanted to say that the book, Dr. Lynn Horowitz's book, Emerging Viruses, that's one of my holy grails, although I keep that with me all the time. So that's a very, very informative book for people to read.
Well, of course, this is Emerging Viruses, AIDS, Ebola. Yeah,
yes.
I think that that book is so important. We do carry it because it goes into the background of where did AIDS come from? Where did this new disease, how did this new disease come about? Well, anybody who has any question, we actually have copies of the government report. It was actually mailed to me anonymously, but we've checked it out. We know it's accurate. Back in 1969, when Dr. MacArthur, the chief consultant, medical consultant for the Army, went before the Special Committee of Congress, House Appropriations Committee for the Military, and said, you give me $10 million, and I can create, within a few years, a new disease for which there will be no immune response. It will destroy the immune system. The immune system cannot act at it. And he got his $10 million, and about 5 or 6 years later, suddenly we had the acquired immune deficiency disease. Very important.
I also wanted to say that in about 1972, my boy, who was 3 years old at the time, 2 weeks after a DPT shot, come down with uncontrollable seizures, and he's living in a group home today, just barely alive. And
he was fine until he got his shot?
He was absolutely perfect, and then 2 weeks after that, he was in totally uncontrollable seizures and had destroyed a good part of the left frontal lobe of his brain.
Now, how old was he when he took the shots?
He was just 3 years old at the time.
All right. Doctor, what would your response be to Fred? Have you heard similar stories of that?
Yes, unfortunately, they're all too common. The vaccines simply aren't safe, and they can't predict in advance who are going to get these terrible reactions, and it's kind of like Russian roulette. If you go in and have your vaccine, a certain percentage of those who take those vaccine shots are going to be damaged by them, and this is a tragic event.
I know the doctors at the time didn't want to talk about the DPT shot. They were very reluctant to even talk about that at all. But,
well,
you know, I wanted to tell you, I just got my shortwave set today, so I'm all ready.
God bless you. Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd like to know what you think. Because, you know, when doctors speak, any doctor who speaks out against vaccines will be attacked and vilified and demonized. After all, everybody knows how beneficial these things are. And yet, when you see the skyrocketing rates of asthma and of juvenile diabetes and of autism and of allergies, and then you hear stories like Fred told, and I tell you what, a lot of this came from the DPC shots because they were using an unsafe pertussis vaccine and they knew it was unsafe. They had a much better one that they had over in Japan, and they wouldn't allow it to be used here because, of course, they wanted, of course, to run out the one we had, and they used it for 20 years knowing full well it wasn't safe. That is unconscionable. But few people want to speak out in the government because, after all, if you work for the government and then when you retire, you get a nice job working for the drug companies. And this is, of course, what's really so tragic. In fact, the recent article in the paper pointed out that the congressman who had gotten through this new legislation for prescription benefits for the elderly is going to resign from Congress and go to work for the very drug companies. They're going to really benefit from that. What the new legislation really is a massive subsidies for the American drug companies, and nobody wants to say that. Well, doctor, you know, as you talk about vaccines, I know you've written about vaccines and you've gotten your articles out. What sort of response do you get from the general public and from other physicians?
The response has been favorable. I was rather surprised. A radio station in San Francisco immediately got in touch with me and asked me to appear on their program because they were very interested in the article. And one of the announcers for the station, Sub Rosa, said, you know, we completely agree with your stance on vaccines.
Now, was it KGO or was that KSFO? Do you know?
No, it was KGO.
Oh, KGO. Well, I'm glad that they are getting that information out because, of course, they have a much larger outreach than we do. So the great tragedy is what a terrible thing it is to harm a child and to destroy their life, you know, by destroying their mind. And what are your thoughts about the mercury in the vaccines that were used so widely until recently, and now they still leave this in the influenza and tell our kids that they have to get it? And I say, as this latest article in Insight magazine, we'll send anybody out there a copy that'd like to get it. They point out that you can get up to 250 times the allowable dose of mercury in these shots. And where's the outcry from the doctors? Where's the outcry from the parents? And, of course, they just not crying because they don't know what's going on. But what are your thoughts about the dangers of mercury?
There's a lot of hypocrisy. If you drop a mercury thermometer, why, it's a, you know, you've got to be super careful about cleaning it up and disposing of it and everything. And yet if you put mercury in a shot into a human being, why, well, they don't pay attention to that at all. In the same way, the terrible problem of the amalgams that contain 50% mercury.
You're talking about the dental amalgam.
Yes. This mercury is constantly breaking down, being inhaled and ingested, and over a period of time, it certainly can't be good for people. But I think the dental profession is caught in a trap. They've been giving these amalgams to people for a long, long time. If they admit they're dangerous, then they're all open to a lawsuit. So I think they're fighting like tigers to prevent the truth from being released to the American people, that they must not put mercury in their mouths. That's dangerous.
Well, we have a wonderful four-tape set on mercury, and it involves two of the tapes are talks about the dental amalgams, and we even have a video on that. It's called Uninformed Consent. But 100 years ago, why the dentist wouldn't put mercury in the mouth? Because they realized how toxic it was. And then, in fact, you couldn't join the Dental Association if you used mercury fillings. And then a couple of people came in, and they convinced the dentist that this was a much easier way to do things. It was much harder not to use the mercury. And there's real advantages and financial advantages to putting in the mercury, because you can put in so many more fillings. And so that's how it happened. And so they did away with the original good dental association, and they created the American Dental Association that's supporting this, a total malpractice, and they've been supporting it for almost 100 years. That's what's so unconscionable. And more dentists are understanding what's going on, but they're afraid to speak out against their organization. Would that be a fair statement, do you think?
I think that's completely accurate. There's a dentist in Connecticut who's speaking out, and he's being harassed, and he's been arrested and all kinds of problems simply because he's telling the truth.
You mean he's been arrested because he's telling the truth?
Yeah, he's been threatened with losing his license and all kinds of terrible things, and it's because he's taken a stand against mercury amalgams.
And yet when you realize how terribly toxic mercury is, and you know, and we see these articles about don't you dare eat tuna fish or swordfish because there's going to be a tiny amount of mercury in it, and then they put this right in your mouth where it's going to be breaking down and vaporizing, this is just incredible. I think for our listener out there who has any question, you really need to get that video. We'll actually see the dental amalgam, the fumes coming off of it. And of course, it's called Uninformed Consent. And then the four-tape set we have on mercury. You need to understand that you're being poisoned, your children are being poisoned, and you better do something about it while you can. This is why Alzheimer's is on the rise so dramatically today. I mean, 50 years ago, people didn't live as long as they do today. Now they live long enough, and they get, of course, mercury intoxication, and they get the changes, at least they're susceptible as far as their brain is concerned, and they develop Alzheimer's disease, and they end up like President Reagan. What a terrible tragedy for a once brilliant mind. Well, what can be done, do you think, Doctor, to get the information out about the danger of vaccines and the fact that before the vaccines ever came in, the incidence of death from these childhood diseases had fallen dramatically to the point where it was hardly a problem at all?
It's a very hard thing to fight against the authorities that are in power, and the truth ultimately is going to reach individuals want your program. Things like this, you're reaching people. They're understanding. They're not going to go ahead with getting any more mercury into their bodies. And I think the dental profession is slowly changing. More and more dentists are becoming aware of the hazards of mercury in the amalgams and are not putting them in. But then you've got the problem of the ceramic things that are used to... there's a Dr. Hansen in your area, the dentist, and he's made a very critical statement, and I think he's right. He says, once you start tampering with a tooth, then that tooth needs more care later. If you leave the teeth alone and are able to avoid doing something to a tooth that will certainly injure the circulation in the tooth and make it more vulnerable to a future problem, you're much better off. No dental care is better than dental care, in other words. It's a radical stance, but I think he's right, and I believe the less we do to our teeth in the way of altering them and drilling into them and changing their inherent structure that was supplying nutrients to the dentine and the whole tooth,
you're better off with less dental care. The less you have, the better you are.
Well, now, but what about, certainly if you have a cavity, shouldn't that be treated?
I would try to get a hold of a biologic dentist and have it handled by that type of a dentist. I think they will be able to improve the condition of that tooth, and there's another area, and that's these having these teeth that have become decayed, and then they go in and do a root canal. Those root canals are a source of an abscess. Every time you do a root canal, you're creating a potential abscess site. And that's been covered up very effectively for many, many years. Root canals are not safe. And a lot of people have a degenerative disease that arises out of the fact that they had a root canal. And they may end up with arthritis, or they may end up with any number of degenerative problems related to the continuous seeding of the bloodstream with tiny doses of bacteria from this abscess that's been created at the site of the root canal.
Well, you know, when I was a young orthopedist, in fact, I was in my training at Merritt Hospital in Oakland, and we had an older orthopedist there. He had been trained at the Mayo Clinic. His name was Dr. Doug Dixon, and I think he's long since gone to be with his maker. But he always had a treatment for the people who would come in with these multiple musculoskeletal abnormalities, and he would suggest that they get their teeth pulled. Now, that's just something he'd learned at the Mayo Clinic probably 40 years before that. So we're talking about medicine that was practiced, about 80 or 90 years ago. And it used to be that they would do multiple dental extractions that just simply pull the teeth out and give people false teeth if they had multiple musculocutaneous tendinous problems. And I remember Dr. Dixon inviting us over to see some of his patients, and they were just so grateful to him for having the dental extractions. And we always used to sort of make fun of him. But now, looking back over 40 years, I realize that probably what he was doing was removing exactly these nidus of infection that you're talking about.
Yes. Dr. Atkins had a patient who knew about the dangers of root canals, and the little child, 12-year-old child, living across the hall from this woman, had a root canal and went into a coma the day after the root canal. And there was a big discussion, and the woman who was a patient of Dr. Atkins got in touch with the Dr. Atkins, and he called and spoke with the oral surgeon involved in the case. And the man said, look, this little child is dying. What harm do we have if we take this tooth out? Well, they took the tooth out, and a few hours later, the child sat up in bed and was fine. If they'd have left that tooth in, that child would have gone ahead to die.
Well, there's a lot of things out there that we really don't know. We don't have the answers to everything. I think most doctors are trying to do the right thing, but unfortunately, they're trapped in a system. And once you're a doctor and you realize the dangers of vaccines, if you were to suggest that somebody not get their child vaccinated, why, you'd be subject to a malpractice suit. I will tell you, though, that there are a number of doctors who are not having their own children vaccinated, but they're going ahead and vaccinating your children because they're almost forced to by the way the system works.
That's unfortunately true. If you stand up for something that you believe to be correct, you will be harassed, and you may face all kinds of charges, and you may even lose your license. But somewhere along the way, the truth must come out about these things. And fortunately, there's inroads being made. Vaccines are something that, if you say vaccines are dangerous, why, that's heresy. I mean, everyone knows they're good. Well, the problem is they've never been studied. They've never really gone in and looked and proved that there's a benefit ratio in giving vaccines to people. And the problem, I'm convinced that the downside and the damage from them is greater than the upside.
Well, if we look at the history of smallpox, where there was hardly any cancer before, they started the smallpox mass vaccination, and then we began to see the rise of the incidence of cancer. This certainly is something very, very concerning. And then we know the true story of what they did with the polio vaccine, and they've covered this up for 50 years. Because the last thing they want is the American people to know that we contaminated almost our entire population with simian virus 40, one of the most lethal cancer viruses known to mankind. Well, we're just about out of time. Doctor, do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners at all?
Well, I have
I think it takes courage to stand up against the powers that be that are making these decisions about vaccines. And yet I respect and admire people like yourself who have taken a stand and have hung tough and haven't collapsed and are still speaking the truth. And a lot of doctors have been harassed and they've lost their licenses, they've been pushed off buildings, there have been all kinds of things happen when you stand up and go against the powers that be. But this country is under the control of the pharmaceutical industry, and they're not going to allow their special projects with drugs for the rest of your life to treat high blood pressure and things of that nature. They're going to oppose these things.
What, do you have a website or any way people can get in touch with you?
Yes, I do. Our website is www.naturalhealthteam.com.
Natural Health what?
Naturalhealthteam.com. And we have a fulfillment house in Florida. I've written a book called A Physician's Guide to Natural Health Products That Work. And in that book, I go through the whole field of medicine, and I've discussed 39 products that we really like. These are available by going to that website and also by calling 1-800-416-2806.
1-800.
I am totally convinced that there is a good natural solution.
We're going to have to go. Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Okay.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I just want to mention that we do carry the Big Berkey products, and certainly we have the Big Berkey, we have the Berkey Light, and one reason why you really should have them is if you're in an area where they have fluoride in the water, you don't want to be taking fluoride. It basically affects your mind, it poisons your endocrine system. It destroys your fertility. It produces cancer. And those are just a few of the things. Fluoride is a very toxic product. And, of course, the aluminum industry, the fertilizer industry didn't know what to do with it. So they came up with the ingenious product. I mean, it was too expensive to put into toxic dumps, so they decided to put it into your water. Well, you can get the fluoride out with a Big Berkey or with a Berkey Light by getting we call them the post filters. And you need two post filters for the Berkey Light, four for the Big Berkey. They have to be replaced every few months. In other words, about every 6 months you have to replace those filters. But if you are in an area where you have fluoridated water, filter it out. And this is the only really efficient means I know of doing it. Now, the Big Berkey itself, it costs about $239.95. A great way to get good-tasting water, take out most of the chloride and pesticides and herbicides and bacteria, and you can use it with pond water and lake water and river water. It's been used for 150 years. The Berkey Light is even more efficient, although you have to change the filters much more often. It's $199.95. That's the Berkey Light. That's the one that we got for ourselves. So if you'd like to get these, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. And if you want to get rid of the fluoride, ask for the post filters. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener supported, and primarily, if you would like to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, and I think my December newsletter is especially revealing because it explains why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools, why the people on the Supreme Court hate God. Why, you can get that free copy simply calling us, 1-800-544-8927. And then we wanted, of course, to mention to you that Radio Liberty is now heard 2 hours every evening from 8 to 10 on the West Coast, from 10 to 12 in Central Time. And if you don't have a shortwave, we hope that you'll want to get one. And we are carrying an excellent new Sanjian shortwave set, $149.95, and it comes with a carrying case. It comes, of course, with a real 24-foot reel aerial or antenna. You really want to get a good shortwave, and I hope that you'll start listening on a regular basis from 8 to 10 or 10 to 12 every evening as we try to educate the American people as to what's going on. Now, your job is to tell other people about our radio programs, and as you know, they're heard up and down the West Coast here, almost every one of the major cities, certainly in Los Angeles, gets into San Francisco, gets into Portland, gets into Seattle, and then, of course, we have all of our stations there on the eastern part of Washington around Spokane. But we want people to hear on a regular basis what's going on and begin to put together an understanding of the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. So if you have an opportunity to listen to our program on the Internet 5 hours a day, fine. But if you can't, then you can get us 4 hours a day on shortwave. And, of course, the reception in the evening is far better than the reception in the afternoon. So get yourself shortwave, either a Sanjian from us or a shortwave elsewhere, and then get started listening and get other people listening to our programs on a regular basis. Then we ask you to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs on the Internet, where you can get our archive programs. We recommend very strongly our new video. It's called Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. It's the story of what's going on, very professionally done. And, of course, it gets into the fact that we're moving rapidly towards World War III and the secret societies that are involved in moving us into World War III. The new video, Diaprax in the Church, goes into the church growth movement. We have a 4-tape set on the church growth movement. You need to get this. You need to try to get people to understand that the church growth movement is based upon manipulation of the Christians in this country. It is aimed at changing America forever, our music, our perception of God, and taking people with don't have any psychological problems and creating psychological problems for them because they're using psychological tricks. That's what the diaprax is. That is what the dialectic is, to change your perception, about God, family, and country, and yourself. So if you'd like, of course, to get our video, Diaprax in the Church, or a 4-tape set, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Seriously consider getting my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which explains what's really going on in the world today. You can get the book. You can get the video. The book is $12.95. The video is $19.95. Or you can get the book, the video, and the audio tape as the Brotherhood of Darkness special for $29.95. And feel free to copy the audio tape and copy the video and help us get the truth out across America while we still can. Please pray for America. Please pray for revival, because if America does not turn back to God, why, God will never again bless this nation. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, this is Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you.